All right, so this is Philippians chapter 4, and it says, do not, starting in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord. One of the things that we have to figure out, so we got this verse here. It's a great verse. You maybe have memorized it before. You've probably heard it before. Is you got to understand, why was this verse even said in the first place? Who was talking? Who were they talking to? All that kind of thing. So first of all, this is Paul talking, and Paul is writing a letter to the Philippian church. And so the Philippian church is actually one of the first God or Jesus movements in the Eastern European world at the time. And so this city called Philippi is actually filled with a bunch of retired Roman soldiers. So they are very nationalistic, if you will. They're very much all about Rome and the glory of Rome and the power of Rome and the fame of Rome and everything Rome. And so when you introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Paul talks about how Jesus is far superior to anything else or any other power in the world, there's a little bit of a problem with that. There's a little bit of an issue with that where the Romans that are there, the people are there, they're like, no, Rome is Rome is what's up, and Jesus is nobody. And so there's a little bit of a conflict, and by that I mean a big conflict, where anybody who starts talking about Jesus, they're the ones who tend to get persecuted. They're the ones who tend to get thrown in jail. They're the ones who tend to get beaten or possibly killed, all that stuff. And literally the reason why Paul is writing this letter rather than going to them and talking to them himself is because he's in prison for the very same thing. He's in prison for telling people about the gospel of Jesus, the importance of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and that he paid for our sins, and that he died for our sins. He's talking about that stuff, and the reason why he's in prison is because he's spreading this message. And so he started this church in Philippi, and he's writing this letter to him. So he says, be anxious for nothing, because the reason why they have, the reason why they're perhaps anxious is because their very lives might be asked of them. They might their livelihood might be taken away from them. There's all these things going on. Other things, kind of smaller things going on, is maybe some rifts between people within the church, but that's the main thing. And so he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which we'll talk about that in a couple of days, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So here's a question for us all, bringing it to today. Like I said yesterday, and as you all noticed, this year, this world, this time that we're living in is very interesting. I don't know about you, but I've especially this year, have felt more of the anxiety, more of the restlessness, more of that unsettledness in my own heart and in the hearts and the lives of other people who've come and talked to me than any other time in history, if I remember correctly. People, often come and, just need counseling, those kinds of things, and I'm sure we all feel like that. So here's a little question for you, and I'd love to hear your answers, but first, I need a volunteer who's got good handwriting and who is okay writing with a crayon to write some things down. So anybody want to volunteer? All right, so you two ladies, so you can rock, paper, scissors, however you want to do it, to figure out who's going to, nice, okay. And let's give it up for Girl Warrior right here, okay? Look at that. Just Girl Warrior. You are a Girl Warrior. Sorry, don't be embarrassed. What's your name, by the way?
Ruby.
Ruby. Let's give it up for Ruby. All right, Ruby, what do you do for a living?
Live.
Right on. See? No worries in the world. Okay. What kind of a warrior are you? Yeah, of course. Very simple. That's good. Good answer. All right, I'm going to give you this crayon here. And so if you can sit in the chair of power. This is your throne right there, Ruby. And so, Ruby, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask people some questions about the things that are on our minds, the worries that we have to this day. And so they'll be able to shout it out, and then you just write those down. Don't worry about spelling, because I never do. So with that, so what are some of the things these days that we're worried about? What are some things on your mind that you're worried about? You can shout it out. Let's go right here. Money, worried about money? Right on, okay. Yeah. Grades, right on. Sorry, you know, grades, those kinds of things. Anybody else? What are we worried about today, these days? What'd you say? The election. So election is spelled E-L-Action. Okay, you got that? Write that down. Anybody else? What are the things that we're worried about these days? Freedom. Freedom. Who said that? Okay, freedom. Lori said freedom. Okay, yeah. Health. Health, right on. So health. I thought you said ALF for a minute. I was like, you know, ALF is not real. Okay, it's not real. As much as I'd like to believe that. Yeah. Unemployment. Worried about unemployment. Ruby, how are we doing over here? We got some, you were like, I didn't know this was going to be a test. Okay. Anybody else? What are the things that we're worried about these days? Yeah. Racial injustice, right on. Okay, you can, I don't know how you want to spell that, and you figure it out. Okay, Ruby, you seem girl warrior. Okay, yeah. What did you say? Racial injustice. Just ice. There you go. Ice. Something like that. Yeah. Morality in the U.S. We could say morality like everywhere, but just put morality. How about that? M-O-R-ality. Did you put? Oh, you already put it. She's fast. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Children education. Are they going to be able to get a good education in this place that we're in right now, with sort of being able to school and sort of not being able to go? Declan, yes, sir. Would you say Facebook? Starting high school. Yeah. All right. How many people are worried about starting high school? Any starting high school? We got two of the oldest people sitting here. I'm just kidding. Starting high school. Okay. Thank you, Declan. Anybody else worried about anything? Yeah. Social distancing. I know. I am terrible at it. I just want to let you know. Hug? Not really. Yeah. Planet. Yeah. Is this planet going to be able to sustain us for, I don't know, 50, 60, 100 years? So anybody else got any other things, any worries on your mind? Oh, I see the people there. Hi, people. How you doing? Just want to wave. Okay. All right. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Anybody else? Yeah. Riots. Yeah. I mean, is my house going to be safe? My business, perhaps? Are people going to be safe in the midst of riots? Oh, it's okay. It's a crayon, so it's good. The economy? Yeah. I mean, are we going to have money? Are we going to be able to pay for our livelihood? Yes. Working from home. Okay. Do you guys need, like, counseling or something? Like, we could talk about it later if you want. Well, let's see me after class. Okay. Yeah, so there's all kinds of things for us to be worried about. There's all kinds of things that make us feel uneasy. And here's what this idea of anxiousness or anxiety or worry, thank you, by the way, you just hold on to that for a little bit, okay? You get to sit in the throne, so you're good. So there's all kinds of reasons why we need to be, why we feel anxious or anxiety or worry. And the question that I had when I'm reading this passage of Scripture is, what exactly is worry? What does it mean for us to be anxious or worried? And essentially what this means is to be troubled with things that we don't have any control over. To be anxious or to be worried about is to be troubled by the cares of this world that we have no control over. Because, see, when we all have this thing called a locus of control, but when that gets taken up, when it gets to be undermined, when it gets to be destroyed, this locus of control, then we start to feel anxiety, we start to feel worry, we start to feel nervous, we start to feel like, uh-oh, I don't know what's going to happen, and that scares me. So essentially what worry is, what anxiety is, essentially what it is it's fear. Fear about the unknown. There's so many fears. Triskaidekaphobia, fear of the number 13. Can anybody afraid of the number 13 here? Yeah, thank you. Praise Jesus. Okay. So many things for us to be afraid of. Like let's go to Ruby. Ruby, you're on. So you want to read your words here?
Money, grades, election, freedom, health, unemployment, racial injustice, morality, education of children, high school, social distancing, earth, rioting, economy, and homeworking.
Bravo. Thank you. Let's give her a round of applause. You can go sit back there. Let's give her a job here at Fort Wilderness, okay? So many things to be worried about, so many things to be unsettled about. And here's the thing with all this. I'm 30 years old, and I realize as the older I get, I always thought as a kid, like as a kid, when I get to be an adult, I'm just gonna be set. I'll have a job, I'll have money, family, all that kind of stuff. The older I get, the more I realize, the less I have control over things. The older I get, the more I realize that no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard we try to do things, no matter how many education or how many degrees we have or any of those kind of things, how much excellence we have at things, we are all out of control. It's hard enough for me to have self-control, let alone to control anything else in our world. And I think that we all feel that. That's why we feel unsettled. So this passage of scripture that Paul speaks is pretty timely for that group of people, but also for us because of exactly where we are. So he says, don't be anxious about anything. I remember a couple of years ago when I used to ride roller coasters. I don't do that anymore because I'm not allowed to. So I was riding on a roller coaster, and I used to, if you remember, like when you're going on the roller coaster and you're that first hill, that first drop, that terrible feeling that you feel. How many people like that, by the way? Some sick. You guys are all sick people. All need prayer, okay? I hate that feeling. Like, I hate that feeling. It makes me feel like I have to go to the bathroom, but I can't or something. I don't know. I hate that feeling. And so what I would do when I was on a roller coaster is I would hold on to the bar just because I thought that if I held on to that bar that I wouldn't feel that feeling as much. But what I realized in that is a friend of mine told me that, you know, you put your hands up. And the reason why you do that is because if you put your hands up, if you just let go, that feeling is actually a little bit less. It's kind of more exhilarating. And I didn't know that because I saw people like, you know, putting their hands up. And I'm like, what is wrong with those people? So anyway, all that to say, we all feel anxiety about different things, about everything that's going on in your life and in your family, all that kind of thing. And we want to hold on to those things, but I think there's an opportunity in this to let go, in a sense, and to let God. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing. And here's why. He says, "Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving." We'll talk about Thanksgiving tomorrow. I wanted to talk about this idea of prayer today. What exactly is prayer? So I know we would say prayer is like conversation with God or things like that, but and I think that that's definitely it, but I think there's something more going on here. I think prayer is what we would call voluntary weakness. Prayer is an admission to the fact that we are all weak. Even though we try to not be weak, we try to be strong, we try to be educated and knowledgeable and all that stuff. Prayer is this admission to each and every single one of us that we don't have control over anything, but there is a God in heaven who knows all, who sees all, who is above all and in all and with all, and we give that up to him. If worry is internal strife over the things that we can't control, then prayer is internal strife that's given towards God because we know he is in control. In fact, I would say this: if you know how to worry, then you're just about good at praying, because it's the same thing except for it's directed towards something different. Worry is directed inward, anxiety is directed inward, prayer is directed outwards, and maybe more importantly, upwards. So he says, prayer and petition. And the Greek words here, you know what the words mean? Prayer and petition. Okay, that's what they mean. So we're going to look at this passage of scripture in James chapter 5. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture about prayer. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I want you to see exactly kind of what prayer is and what he's talking about. So if you wanted to go to James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 13, just give me a thumbs up if you're there. If you got your Bible, just give me a thumbs up. Oops. Yeah, here we go. All right, so this is James chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 13. It says this: "Is anyone among you in trouble?" Anybody in trouble here? Nobody wants to say anything. Okay. Don't tell me, especially if you're a kid, you did something wrong. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. In verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love this passage of scripture. So this is James, who's the brother of Jesus, and he's writing to the Jewish diaspora, kind of dispersed all over the known world at the time. And so he's writing this, and he's writing a bunch of things. And James is kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. He tells a bunch of things about how to have wisdom and not showing favoritism and things like that. And about he actually talks about worry and tests and trials and things like that. But at the end, he talks about this idea of faith and prayer. And he's saying, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you are in trouble, pray. If you are happy, praise. Is anyone among you sick? Call the elders and let them pray. And the prayer offered in faith will do what? The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. They will be forgiven. They will. So this is encouragement to each and every single one of us that God does hear our prayer, and we'll look at that in just a second. But verse 16, therefore confess your sins, pray for each other. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and that just means that the prayers offered in faith are effective. They actually are heard or answered or listened to, as you will. And this other part in James chapter 5:17 says this: Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And this is like a bizarre story. So first of all, you got to know about Elijah. So Elijah in this context would be considered pretty famous. Like who's a famous person that you know of or heard of? Like who's a famous person in this day and age? Kim Kardashian. That was the first thing that somebody said. Giannis over here. You said Kim Kardashian. Okay, right on. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Kim Kardashian, Giannis Antetokounmpo, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, however you say his last name. So famous. Anybody else? Who's famous in this world today? Yeah, LeBron. He just said, you didn't even have to say his last name because we all know who LeBron is. Yeah. Harrison Ford. Wow. Let's give her a golf clap on that one. That was good. What's her name, by the way? Bella? Bella with a V. Okay. So Bella and Ruby. Okay. Right on. Okay. Yeah. So Elijah would be like more famous than all those people put together. And so when James is talking about Elijah, ears perk up because they all know who Elijah is. They all know the stories about Elijah. They all know who he is. And it says that Elijah, this famous person like LeBron or Giannis or Kim Kardashian, for the love of God, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He's a person just like you and me. That means that he wakes up in the morning with bad breath. He's got that stuff in your eyes, you know, when you wake up in the morning and maybe you forgot to wash your face. He probably drools on his pillow. He had to get his diaper changed, hopefully as a baby. So this is who Elijah is, this famous person, this person that for every Jewish person, they would think he was like the most famous person in the world. This person, James is saying that he is just like us. Meaning he's got the same problems, same issues, same thoughts, same temptations, same worries that each and every single one of us had. Well, what does it say? A person just like us. Yet it says, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. 3.5 years, that's 1,277.5 days of no rain. Now, typically in the summer in Milwaukee, actually, I remember this as a kid, when in the summertime, they would tell you, like, not water your lawn after a certain period of time because the summer being, like, lack of rain, that, you know, you didn't want to, like, lose water or something like that. But to not have water, not have rain for 1,277 days, that has a big cultural effect on the socioeconomic status of a region. Especially in this day and especially in that day and age where it's very agricultural, you need water so you can feed your cows and your chickens and your goats and things like that. So if you go 3.5 years without any rain, that's called a famine in the land, basically. And so Elijah prayed for 3.5 years, prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. When I would read this story, I used to think that maybe Elijah prayed, God, hold off the rain for 3.5 years. But right here, it actually says that he prayed earnestly. And what that is kind of it's what's called a Hebraism, which means that he like prayed with prayer. Like he prayed with a prayerful prayer. Like he prayed like he had never prayed for anything before. And I think that he did it every single day. Day one, God, hold off the rain today. Day two, God, hold off the rain today. Day 366, God, hold off the rain today. Day 1,000, God, hold off the rain today. Day 1,276, God, hold off the rain today. And day 1,277.5, God, hold off the rain today. Just think about that. With the things that we're worried about, what would it look like to pray for 1,277 days? Usually for me, if I'm praying for something, I'll pray for it for like maybe a week and then I'll forget. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I'll be like, oh yeah, I was praying for that. And then I'd go back to that and then I might forget again. And then I'd go back to it again. Or if for all of us, maybe we pray for things for a couple of days, or you do like we all do, where we're like, oh, I'll just pray about it and then just completely forget about it at all. I'm not saying anything about anybody else but myself, because I do that all the time. But Elijah earnestly prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and then God sent the rain. What I find interesting about this story, and what I find most fascinating about this story, is the fact that God told Elijah, you pray for no rain. And then God told Elijah, you pray for rain. What I just said to you is that God told Elijah, hey, Elijah, I want you to ask me to hold off the rain. And then I want you to ask me to send the rain. And this story, you can find the story in 1 Kings chapter 16 and then 18. And in chapter 18, basically what Elijah does is he prays for rain. He puts his head between his knees and prays for rain. And then he sends his servant to look to see if there's any rain clouds. The servant goes out, doesn't see any rain clouds, comes back, says no rain clouds. So he prays again, and then he sends him out, and he does that for like 7 days until he sees a cloud about the size of a person's fist. And then he gets up, and he's like, all right, God has answered our prayer. And here's what I think prayer is. Prayer is this opportunity to essentially say to God what he's already said to each and every single one of us. Prayer is an opportunity to say to God what his promises are, to say to God all the things that he's already said to us, and pray for God to work in whatever situation we have. So, for instance, if we struggle with anxiety, God says, don't be anxious. God, you tell me, don't be anxious. Help me to have the peace of God, because you are above all and in all and with all and through all. God, you say to us, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. God, help me to ask for this or whatever. That's what prayer is saying to God, back to him, what he's already said to each and every single one of us. If we have a God who knows everything that we need even before we ask, if we have a God who knows everything about us, how many breaths we will take, how many hairs we have on the top of our head, some of us more than others, you know, if we have a God who knows all that, every day that we will live, every day that of ours that's meant to be, then we can trust him in all circumstances. I was talking to Craig last night. We were talking about this kind of movement, and he brought up this passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 7:14, or 2 Chronicles. If my people call upon my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I would hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I like that verse. That verse sticks out to me, especially in this time, because again, we all are feeling unsettled because we just don't know what to do in this situation. We don't know what to think. We don't know where to go with our strife and our anxiety, but God has called each and every single one of us to pray. And the lament that I have, if I'm just being honest, is, you know, everybody's talking about COVID or racial injustice or all these things, and they're all important, and they're all important cares and money and employment and all those things, but nobody, it seems, is calling out to God in the midst of it. That's what we're called to do. Because here's the thing, folks. We all are weak. We don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. We don't know about our kids. We don't know about education. We don't know about high school. We don't know about anything. We don't know if the Packers are going to go to Super Bowl ever. We don't know. We know the Bears won't. Okay, sorry. I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone in 20 years or in 20 minutes. But there's a God in heaven who does. And that's why he calls us in our anxiety, in our trouble over the things that we can't control, to call out to him. Because, as this says, Elijah, who was a person just like us, prayed and God responded. And just people just like you and me, we pray and God responds to those things. So here's my challenge in this. And this is just going to be a practical activity that we do for the rest of our time, for a couple of minutes, is this. So you've got your family next to you. You've got maybe some things in your life that you need prayer for. Let's spend some time praying. Would you be okay with that? With your family, with the people that you came with, let's spend some time. Let's do 5 minutes to pray for all the things that are on our mind, for all the things that we're worrying about. Let's pray, and then I'm going to get up and close this in prayer, and then we've got some announcements. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do that, and then I'll come back up here.